Around the world this weekend, Christians are gathering in churches to celebrate the culmination of this season of Advent and the dawn of Christmas. And throughout Advent, we have been lighting our Advent candles Sunday by Sunday. And as we've done that, we've been reading the words of the Old Testament prophets and thinking of the great Advent themes of hope, peace, joy, and love. How interesting it is that in that cycle of readings, hope is what comes first. And of course it comes first, because without hope, there would be no peace, no joy, no love. Hope is the expectation that things will get better, and we need hope in order to go on. When we think of the words of the Old Testament prophets, we know that they addressed different horizons of space and time. There were the people of Israel, the nation surrounding Israel, and the whole world. And then in time, there was the time of the Old Testament, the New Testament times, especially the times we read of in the Gospels. And then there's the second coming of Christ, the day of the Lord, when the people of God from every nation will be gathered together. The restoration of Zion, as the Old Testament prophet Isaiah puts it. And when we think of the first two of each of these horizons, the people of Israel and the time of the Old Testament, we know that for 2,000 years, the Hebrew people had faced troubles in life. 400 years of cruel Egyptian slavery, 40 years of wandering in the desert, centuries of civil war, foreign invasions, famine, poverty, and even God's judgment. Life was not easy. And it makes you wonder how they made it from day to day. The answer is hope. And when we stop to think about it, there need to be troubles in order for us to have hope. Hope is always about something better tomorrow. Perhaps if your troubles are small, you hope for a changed circumstance. But when your troubles are large, like the people we read of in the Old Testament, you hope for God. The people of Israel had faced all sorts of troubles, small and large, and they hoped that God would send someone special to chase their troubles away. And here's when hope began. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. God was sending hope, and Mary was greatly troubled. And that's what sometimes happens when God finally sends word. We are troubled all the more because, like Mary, we wonder what God is going to do. Well, there were troubles, but they were met when the angel Gabriel spoke simple words of promise. "Do not be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. You will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He'll be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." That was a spectacular promise. There's no way Mary could have understood the full meaning of Gabriel's words. She had no idea how all this would play out in her personal life. What it meant for her engagement, her wedding, her marriage, her family. What she could sense was the hope embedded in the angel's voice and words. Here was a promise for a better future coming from God himself. And words do give hope, especially words from God. Not that we can fully unwrap them or understand them, but just the assurance that God has promised gives hope for a better tomorrow. You know, when troubles surround me, I read my Bible. I'm taught and blessed by what God says. But I will tell you that I find hope simply in the realization that God speaks to me through his word. And even when I don't fully understand all that is in this book, I get hope from God's words of promise. Well, what Mary did next is so like us all. She asked, "How will this be?" That's what we always want to know, isn't it? Okay, God, so how are you going to do this? This world is a mess, so God, how are you going to fix it? When Mary asked how God was going to do what he promised, here's what Gabriel told her. "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." That really wasn't totally helpful information. All Mary knew was that she was a virgin. God told her that she would give birth to the Son of God and that the Holy Spirit would work out all the details. You see, God doesn't want our hope centered on his plan. God wants our hope centered on him, on God alone. Let me tell you how I think it works. God promises help and hope, and we trust God to fulfill his promises. The Holy Spirit processes the plan, and we see the parts come together. Now, what does it look like? The Spirit stops a tragedy. The Spirit starts a relationship. The Spirit defeats an enemy. The Spirit provides a resource. The Spirit allows a disappointment. The Spirit finally brings all the parts and pieces together for great good and fulfillment of God's first promises. Admittedly, along the way, it doesn't always seem to make sense. And that's when we must trust God. And it's in that trust that we live out our hope. Well, finally, there's a time of waiting. And it's the waiting that can get a little scary. That's what Mary had to do for a long time before that first Christmas. She had no idea how the next 9 months would unfold. Would she be disowned by her family? Would she be spurned by her betrothed, Joseph? Would she be cast out of her village, or worse? And even if she'd escaped some or all of that, there was the natural worry of every new mother for what lay ahead during her pregnancy. There must have been times Mary wished it could all be over, and that the intervening months between the announcement of the angel and the birth of her baby could somehow be swept away. The angel told Mary, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." That was a long way of telling Mary that it was all going to take a long time. And when you're troubled, and when the world is in a mess, when God is intervening, doesn't a year seem a long time? Mary must have felt that some 30 years felt like forever. And she watched her son grow. It can be hard to keep hope high when there is a long time of waiting. But amazingly, we may actually benefit from the wait. And that's what Mary did. And that's what Christians do. We never lose faith in the end of the story. "He will be great and called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." You see, Christmas is all about hope. Whatever your troubles, keep the flame of hope burning. Hope not in circumstances or calendars, but hope in the person of Jesus Christ.